The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Dalet, and we are 6 lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis. And the topic at the beginning of Perek Amichas HaPeres was the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Holche B'Mamon Acher HaRoiv, or Ein Holche B'Mamon Acher HaRoiv. The Machlokes Rav and Shmuel was said regarding HaMeicher Shor L'Chaveroi V'Nimtzo Nagchon, where there's a ruba that the radios we need, there's a myriad of people that when they buy a shor, they buy it la'achila. The question is, in this case, where it can't be used the radio because it's a nagchen, does lekeach have a right to say that I'm from the roiv and that should be proof that this is a mekach toys or not? Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. Either way, what did it have to do with the beginning of Perek HaMoicher Peres? Because the Mishnah discussed a very similar case. The Mishnah discussed, if somebody sells peres l'chaveroi v'zoron, the buyer bought the peres with the intent not of eating them, but sowing them, putting them in the ground, and they did not grow. The Mishnah said that even if this zera that the buyer bought was zera pishton, where there's a roi, because most zera pishton that are sold l'zriya, and he was a reya, and nothing grew. The moicher is not responsible to make the buyer whole. And the reason is because he could say that even though the majority of Zera Pishtana sold Lazria, in my mind, I wasn't selling it Lazria. I was selling it Lachiva. And if you, Dafka, wanted it Lazria, you should have stipulated it. I, Roiv, ain't Hocha B'Mamon, Achara Roiv. Says the Gemara, isn't that a Kashan Rav who holds Hocha B'Mamon, Achara Roiv? The Gemara says it is, but Kitanoihi, there's a Brisa that brings 2 other opinions how to view this. Bottom line, that's how the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel got involved in our Sugya. The Mishnah, however, continued. The Mishnah said, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Zarei Negino, if somebody buys garden seeds, She'ena Necholin, that nobody eats, and then the buyer planted them, and nothing grew, there already the moicher is chayv b'achar yusam. Because that's not just a roi. Everybody that buys a roi negino buys it with the intention of planting it. In this case, if he tried planting, so it's true, the Tana, the Mishnah holds, that zera pishton, where roiv people buy it lizriya, the moicher is not chayv b'achrayas, because we don't care about roiv. The way we look at roiv in the context of momenus, as if it's a sofik, ha-moitzim e-chaver yolav a-raya, the seller does not have an obligation to make the buyer whole. But if everybody buys a Lizria and he was a Reya and nothing grew, that's a classic Mekach Tois. The Rashbam says that's no different than if somebody thought he was buying Yayin and he ended up getting Chometz. At the end of the day, he didn't get what he thought he was going to get. Dear the halacha is certainly that the Moicher is going to be Chayv Bachrais. The Gemara now is going to elaborate a little bit on that last halacha, where if somebody buys, again, Zaroi Negina, garden seeds, everybody that buys garden seeds buys it with the intention to plant. He bought, he paid top dollar for it, COD, he took it home, he put it in the ground, nothing grew. He can come back and tell the moicher, listen, I bought a lemon. I want my money back. When the moicher gives him his money back, how much money does he give him? The Tanakhama, the Brisa says, he has to pay him back the money that he got for selling the seeds. But the Dmei Hotzois, if the buyer had to invest, let's say, $1,000 into planting those seeds that he bought, so that his loss is more than just the money that he paid for the seed. There's many other expenses that came along with it that he's now in the hole. That already the moicher is not going to be responsible. And even though the moicher technically caused that loss to the buyer bought seed. He thought he had good seed. So he invests now $1,000 into planting these seeds. He finds out that what he bought was wrong, so much so that the moicher has to give him back his $1,000. So there would be mukim in the world of Chesh HaMish, but to think that maybe the moicher should be obligated to make him whole for everything, for all the losses that he incurred. The halacha is he doesn't have to. And the reason, says the Rashbam, many times in this sugya is because we view that as a grumma. And grumma bin azakin is part of, meaning it's true the moicher caused that loss. But he only caused it. It was indirect. And being that it was indirect, the halach is grumma bin azakin part of. Others say, afhoitza. No. The moicher would be responsible to make him whole for those additional expenses as well. Man yeshayimim. Who is the yeshayimim? Amrav chiz, the Rabshim Gamliel. The Rabshim Gamliel. Hi, Rabshim Gamliel. Which Rabshim Gamliel? Meaning it's not a mefurish Rabshim Gamliel. There's no Rabshim Gamliel anywhere in the world that said, regarding this halacha, if somebody buys that roine gina, for like Samchu, he can go back and tell the Meicher, I want you to give me back my money that I paid for the Zarei Negina. Plus, I want you to reimburse me all the expenses that I incurred associated with planting this Zarei Negina. So we're going to have to back in. We're going to have to find a related Rav Shimon Gamliel and somehow apply it to this halacha. So it says the Gemara, which Rav Shimon Gamliel? Elim Rav Shimon Gamliel the Masnisin. Maybe it's the Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say in our Mishnah? Zarei Negina she'enon necholen chaye bachrius. And this halacha that we're talking about, it's attributed in our Mishnah to Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's the one that said that if somebody buys garden seeds that nobody eats, everybody plants, it didn't grow, Chaya Bachriyusan. Now, at first glance, you don't see anything in Rav Shimon Gamliel in terms of how much the seller has to make the buyer whole. All he said was Chaya Bachriyusan. But says the Gemara, it could be it is this Rav Shimon Gamliel, and I'll make the cheshbon for you. The Tanakam of our Mishnah said, if somebody buys peiros and they didn't grow, even Zera Pishton, where most people buy it, Lizria, ain't a Chaya Bachriyusan. It's mashma. It's already implied from the Tanakam of the Mishnah that the Tanakam of the Mishnah would hold that if somebody bought something that everybody plants, v'loit samchu, the meicher would be chayav bachrayus. Because what was the afilu of the Tanakamo? Even Zera Pishton, where most people plant it, but there are people that don't plant it. It's mashma, if the buyer would have bought something that everybody plants, the halach is the meicher would have been chayav. Eim ha-sefer. So what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say in the next breath? Rav Shimon Gamliel, loim ha-zarei negina she'ed ha-necholen, chayav bachrayusan. Freik, the Gemara, Tanakama, nami ha-chikama. Tanakama said the same thing. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying explicitly what is already implied from the Tanakama. Because the Tanakama, the Gemara chazes this over, said, Zera Pishton, hu de'enei chayav bachrayusan, ha-zarei negina she'ed ha-necholen, chayav bachrayusan. So what's the machloikis for Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama and the Mishnah? Ela lava yitzaki b'enayu. Maybe the machloikis is how much you have to reimburse. Marasava, the Tanakama holds ne'zera. Then when the meicher gives back the money to the buyer, what does he give back? He just gives back the value of the seed. Marasava, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds afa yitzaki, that he has to make him whole, not only for the seed that he bought, but also for all the additional expenses that he incurred. So says the Gemara, even though it's not referred to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but in order to make sense of what the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel can possibly be in our Mishnah, ulai, it's the machlokes and this braisa. Do you give the dmei hoitzah, or do you not give the dmei hoitzah? Thus, the yeshoimrim in the braisa that says, af hoitzah is the Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah. But the Gemara says, mimai, dilma ipcha, maybe fakert, meaning all you have in our Mishnah is a machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama, which at first glance, we don't know what that machlokes is. So you want to back into a machlokes. You want to tell me the machlokes is, do you pay only for the dmei zera, or do you pay for the dmei hoitzah as well? But how do you know who holds what? Maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one that holds you only pay the Dmei Zera and not the Dmei Hoitzah. How do you know Rav Shimon Gamliel holds you pay the Dmei Hoitzah? Meaning the Gemara said, Man Yishalim Rav Shimon Gamliel. How do you know? Maybe you know that Rav Shimon Gamliel is one of the two opinions in the Braisa. How do you know which one of the opinions he is? All you know is that there's a Machloikis. And it would be convenient to say that the Machloikis is you paid Dmei Hoitzah or not paid Dmei Hoitzah. But you already know what Rav Shimon Gamliel held. Now you're pushing it. But says the Gemara, Holy Kasha. No, that's not a question. Because kol tana basra letfuya milsaka asi. Because that's the derech of Mishnayis and of Brises, that every time there's a machlokes tanon, the second tana is always the one that's saying a bigger chiddush. He's coming to include more. He's coming to be marba. So if the Tanakama says that if somebody buys a zarei negina and they didn't grow, it's a mekachtois. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel said if somebody buys a zarei negina and didn't grow, it's a mekachtois. They're obviously arguing about something. True. They're also obviously arguing in a way where the Tana Basra, Rav Shimon Gamliel, is saying it's more of a mekachtois. Oh, so he's the one that says it's more of a mekachtois. He's the one that would hold that you have to give back the dmei hoy tzah. But the Gemara says it's not muchach. Because v'dilma kulu Rav Shimon Gamliel. Meaning you're asking or trying to prove that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you give back the dmei hoy tzah from the fact, what's the premise? There must be a machlokes, Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Otherwise, Rav Shimon Gamliel is just repeating what's already implied from the Tanakhama. But says the Gemara, maybe really there is no machlokes. Why do you have to have two opinions? There aren't two opinions. Maybe it's all Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Chasurei Mechzer of a Hachiktani. And maybe the way you have to read the Mishnah is as a Chasurei Mechzer. Now this is interesting because the Gemara will say Chasurei Mechzer sometimes, but that's usually as a teretz. When you have no choice, Chasurei Mechzer of a Hachiktani. Here the Gemara is asking it as a kasha. Maybe it's a Chasurei Mechzer. Whoa, as a kasha, maybe it's a Chasurei Mechzer. So it could be that has to do with the Havana of how Chasurei Mechzer works. But either way, just not to lose the train of thought, says the Gemara, maybe the whole Mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel. And the way you read the Mishnah is Chasurei Mechzer of Ahachi Tari. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if you buy Zera Pishton, even though rife people plant Zera Pishton, and you planted it, and it didn't grow, the halach is no recourse. Sher Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, you know Rav Shimon Gamliel said this, because Rav Shimon Gamliel said that Zeroi Negina, Shein Echol Lechaim Bachris, and it's only Zeroi Negina, where everybody buys at Lizria, that you have recourse back from the seller. But if it's only Zeroi Pishton, where only most people buy it Lizria, there ain't Halacha B'Mamanach Harayv. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, you have no indication from our Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that in such a case, the Halacha of the Mekach Toys would be that not only could the buyer get back the money that he paid for the Zera, but he could also get back the additional Hotzos. Elo, says the Gemara, Hod Rav Shimon Gamliel. Perhaps it's a different Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and this is a Gemara, in Mesechtes Bavakama, Daf Tzadik Tesam and Beis, in the Sugi of Garmi. If somebody gives chitin to a toichin, to a professional toichin, to go grind his chitin for him, for loyless sason, and the toichin, this person, he was somewhat negligent. He didn't soak the chitin in water before he did his tchina, and as a result, fason subedon morsin, it came out not good. Kemach menachtam, or if somebody gives flour to a baker, va'afoy pasni poilin, and he botched up, he didn't bake a good cake, he didn't make good bread. Behema letabak, if somebody gives a behema to a butcher, to a shoychet v'nivlo, and he turned it into an avelo, da'loch is chayev, mipnei shukenois esachar. We, being that he got paid for what he did, not nois esachar as in one of the four shoymer, not shoymer esachar, nois esachar is someone that's getting paid for what he did. Being that he gets paid for what he did, you're responsible if you mess up. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a chiddush. Not only do you have to make this person who gave you flour to bake him a challah back his money for the flour that he gave you if the challah didn't come out good, but nois leit me boishtai, you also have to pay him the Dmei Boishas to the extent that this person made a big Suda and people came to him and he was embarrassed because of the way the bread was. If the Dmei Boishas Archav, and maybe his guests were embarrassed as well, you would have to pay him now all this Dmei Boishas. So what do you see from Rav Shimon Gamliel? You see Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that when a person is Mazik, somebody else, you don't just pay for the actual Hezek that you caused, but any indirect Hezek that came about from that as a result as well, you would have to pay. Such as the busha that the person who gave you the kemach got because of this lousy cake or lousy challah that you made him. Even that you have to make. Even the Dmei Boishas Orchav you have to. If somebody gives a suda to his friend that he's mekalklet, so again, you see, this is Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita was that you have to pay even for the indirect damages that you cause. So that's the yeshayim in this brisa. We started with a brisa. Somebody puts a rain again. The Mishnah says, but in the brisa, there's a machlokes, you just give back to Dmei Zer, do you have to give him the Dmei Yitzah as well? Said the Gemara, who's this man that holds you have to give him the Dmei Yitzah? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. We couldn't find Rav Shimon Gamliel. And it's not Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah either. Maybe it is, but we have no hechrich that it is. So the Gemara, it's Rav Shimon Gamliel from the Sugi of Garmi. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel, Bava Kama, Tzadik Tesom and Beis. There Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if you cause somebody hezek, you have to pay even for some indirect purchase that came about as a result of it. So you say, Meir, Rav Shimon Gamliel really looks into seeing everything that evolves from this hezek to determine how much hezek actually took place. So it makes sense, Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold, that you'd have to pay the Dmei Ha'itzah. So before we understand this machlokes a little bit, let's just finish the Gemara. Oid mina gadol hay b'Yerushalayim. There was another mina gadol b'Yerushalayim. Mapa prutzal gabi ha'pesach. They would take a mapa and they would spread it out in front of the door where people lived, because Mancha Mapa Prusa, so that the people that would walk by, if they would see the mapa, it was a sign that there's food being served right now in this house, and Archim Nechnasim, the Archim would walk in to come eat. This was Achnasas Archim. Nestalka Maka, if the mapa was taken away, Eina Archim Nechnasim, then the Archim knew that they weren't allowed to go in. The Masha is bothered. Why is this a minig gadol? Gadol always implies this is like some major minig, some Dover Chashuv Adla Ma'od. What's the minhag? So he says, you find Achnasas Archim. It's G'dayl Achnasas Archim, Lashon HaGemara. So anytime you talk about Achnasas Archim, it's such a Chashuv a mitzvah that you find the word Gadol, greatness. Greatness and Achnasas Archim somehow come together. Thus, we're talking here about a Moshe Suda L'Chaveroi. We're talking here about the mapa that was Prusa, so the Archim were Nechnasim. we're dealing in the context of Achnosas Archim, in the context of Achnosas Archim, it's very appropriate to use the adjective Godol, because Achnosas Archim is very Godol. G'doyel HaChnosas Archim, Yosim, Kapos Meshchina, you find that it's greater than many, many Dvorim Chashuvim, so says the Masha. That's why the Gemara over here used the word Godol. But either way, so we had a Braisa. The Braisa said, Ma'u Noisim Loi. In this case, where somebody bought Zarei Negina and he clearly didn't get what he thought he was getting. He thought he was going to have Zarei Negina that he'd be able to plant in his garden and something would grow from it. It didn't grow. The Mishnah said, everybody holds. Rav Shmuel, in this case, it has nothing to do with Holchim Amamen or Ein Holchim Amamen Acharoiv. Everybody agrees Zarei is a Mekachtois. The question is, how much does he have to make him whole? So the Braisa said there were two opinions. Dmei Zera V'loi Dmei Hoitza V'yesh Oimrim Af Hoitza. Who's the Yesh Oimrim? We now know it's from Shimon Gamliel. Now, Rashbam mentions many times in the sugya that pshat in the Tanakama is because the Tanakama looks at the Dmei Hoitza as grum. And we know that grum of an Azakin spot. If that's the case, what's pshat in Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why is Rav Shimon Gamliel arguing? Shimon Gamliel doesn't hold Grom ibn Azak and Potter. The Pashtus is everybody holds Grom ibn Azak and Potter. He's a Sheikh. It's Rashi, of course. But the Pashtus is everybody holds that Grom ibn Azak is Potter. So if Grom ibn Azak is Potter, what's the Machloikis over here? No, the Teretz is Eichet Pashit. As I state in Masha, the Ofenar in the Gemara. But the Teretz is Pashit just based on the Sugi that was Shtel Tzu. Because Bava Kama, Tzadik Tesamid Beis, Daf Kufamid Aleph, without opening up a Bava Kama Gemara, we should know, is the Sugi of Garmi. Pshat of Shem Gamliel is he holds that this is not Grama bin Azakin. He holds this is Dina de Garmi. And although Grama bin Azakin is Potter, but there is a Sheet in Shas, it's Rameir Sheet, the other Tanam hold that as well, that are done Dina de Garmi. Rav Shem Gamliel holds like Rameir, who's done Dina de Garmi, and he held that the Dmei Hoitza is not deemed Grama, it's deemed Garmi. If it's Garmi and it's not Groma, so although Groma ben Azakin is Potter, Garmi is Chayev. So the Tanakam and the Braisa holds, you look at the Dmei Hoitza as Groma. As a result, Groma ben Azakin Potter. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you look at the Dmei Hoitza as Garmi. He holds like Rav Meir who's done Dina de Garmi. As a result, you're going to be responsible to pay the Dmei Hoitza. What's the difference between Groma and Garmi? So very quickly, the difference is subtleties. Groma means it's indirect. Garmi means you cause damage, and again, it was indirect. It's interesting. There's a Rashbam, a very important Rashbam, who says a chilik between Grom and Garmi in the next Gemara. Coincidentally, it's the next Gemara on the top of Tzadik Tal and Aleph, the very first Rashbam. The Rashbam says a big lundis. This is one of the Yisoidist Geshas Rashbams that I talked away in Masechtas Bava Basra, in terms of how you understand the chilik between Grom and Garmi. But the Mahalach that we've always gone with when we've learned these sugyas over the last year or so is how indirect is it? Groma is indirect. Garmi is what we call directly indirect. We've had that hashtag a few times. Directly indirect. Meaning it's indirect, but it's a little bit more direct than groma. So you always have to measure how indirect it is. What's the echos? Qualitatively, how indirect is it? Where it's more indirect, it's a groma. Where it's less indirect, it's garmi. See, the Rashbam has a different understanding of it. But depending on how indirect it is, that will determine whether you say groma ben azakim potter or whether you don't. Dina de garmi. Bottom line, that would seem to be the machlokes over here. The Tanakama holds it's a groma ben azakim. If it's a groma ben azakim, you're going to be potter. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds it's a garmi. He holds like Rav Meir, who's done Dina de Garmi. So for that reason, you're going to be chayiv. On that note, Zok to Mishnah Vayta. Amoich peres l'chaveri. If somebody sells peres to his friend, hareze mekabel olav roive tinoifes l'sa. For every sa, chitin, that the buyer buys, that the seller sells, it's understood that there may be some tinoifes there. There may be some junk in there that's nisarev. Chitin comes from the ground. So you pick something out of the ground, there's going to be a taruvis of tinoifes there. So up to a roive hakav, hareze mekabel. It's understood that that's what's going to be. So when you measure, you weigh some of the sugis and then of Amichas Asvino, the chitin, you come back and you say, whoa, one second, I bought a sof chitin and I found there was an eighth of a calf of tinoifes. I didn't want to pay for the tinoifes. Sorry, halach is, you're going to have to keep it. Because up to a roiva, it's implied. More than a roiva, already not. Te'enim, if somebody buys te'enim, a kabbal of esen metulois lameya. For every 100 te'enim that you buy, you have to understand 10 of them are going to be wormy. Martev shal yayin, if you buy wine, mekabbal olav eser koisesois. Not koisesois with a kuf, but koisesois with a kuf. Lameya, again, out of 100, so you're buying wine in bulk, as I said, 10 out of 100 are going to be or can be problematic, and there's no recourse for those. Kankanim b'sharin, if somebody buys kankanim barrels in sharin, Rashbam says, but you say malchus, sharin was a malchus, mekabel olav eser pitzois l'meyah. Again, 10 out of 100 are understood, will be problematic. Tani Rav Ketina said, roi v'kitnes l'sa, that when the Mishnah says if somebody buys sa of chitin, it's understood there may be up to a roiva of tinoifes. What kind of tinoifes are we referring to? We mean kitnias. It's food, it's something that's a meichel, it's roi v'achilo, but it's not what you paid for. You paid for chitin. You didn't pay for beans. You didn't pay for kitnias. However, if you get rocks or schmutz, dirt, that already, the halacha of the Mishnah is not going to be true. Afruris loy, faith to Gemara, is that true? Oma rabba barchia kitaisva mishmeid rabba. Boirit sormi garnishu chaveroi. If somebody goes into his friend's goyrin, the heap where he used to keep his tefuah, and there were rocks there, and he took the rocks out, the halacha is nice and loyd mechitin. He has to pay him for the chitin. Why does he have to pay him for the chitin? Because being that the halach is that when you sell chitin, you're allowed to include some rocks. So it comes out those rocks that you took are causing the moicha hafsid. Because when he sells it, he could have gotten paid for the rocks as if they were chitin. Now, rocks and chitin don't have the same value. But if you sell a saw of chitin, you have a right to include in that a roiva of rocks. So it comes out the rocks have value. If the rocks have value, says the Gemara, if you're a boyer tzor migarnish l'chaveroi, noisan loy mechitin. Now the Rashbam jumps up right away, and the Rashbam says, one second, you're telling me that when you take rocks from your friend, you're causing him damage. Now, is that a direct damage? No, because the rocks themselves don't really have the value. It's really an indirect damage, because you somehow can get paid for the rocks as if they were chitin. Freik the Rashbam. Das ist doch Gromo. Gromo, wenn es auch Potter. This is where the Rashbam says, no, this is not Gromo. This is really Garmi. Frank the Rashbam, what's the difference between Gromo and Garmi? It sounds the same to me. Throughout Shas, Gromo, wenn es auch Potter, Garmi is much more controversial. Why aren't they both the same? And here the Rashbam already says alumnus. I'll redo the Rashbam inside. Says the Rashbam, but Gromo, wenn es auch in the Kaimel on the Potter, it's towards the end of the Rashbam. First Rashbam on the Yomim. That would be, for example, if you give a be'era, a fire, a burning coal, to a cheresh shoyt of a katan. Shehahezek nicker, you see where the damage may potentially come from. You see it in front of you. Aval eni oisa biyadayim. Elagoy. The maisa that you did when you gave a be'era to a cheresh shoyt of a katan. That's the classic case of Grama bin Azakin. One of the classic cases. Is that a maisa hezek? Of course not. It's not a maisa hezek. What did I do? I just gave a cheresh shoyt of a katan a be'era. I didn't cause, but it's a maisa grum. It's a maisa grum. She goyre machshav she yovaya hezik memelo lachazman. Avol dina de garmi biyadayim hu mazik. When someone is a dina de garmi, the classic case of dina de garmi is asoyrif shtaros of shalchader. That's the most classic case. Your friend has a shtar that says somebody owes him $10,000. You go ahead, you burn the shtar. So you're a garmi. You can't tell me I burned $10,000. But you burnt a dover hagoyim b'mamim. It's dina de garmi. Asoyev shtarasev shal chaveroi. That's a dina de garmi. Over there, you see the maisa hezek. I burnt something, but the hezek itself is not nicker. Elosheina hezek nicker. So that's the Rashbam subtle chiluk between a grama and a garmi. By a grama, you see that damage gonna happen, but the maisa itself that you did wasn't a Maisa mazik. It was a maisa of giving a be'er to a cheresh to v'katan. By garmi, you see the maisa hezek, but you don't see the nature of the hezek, because all you see is somebody burning a piece of paper. You don't realize that this piece of paper, again, I say you don't realize, to the outsider, to the bystander, he doesn't see $10,000 going up in flames. Regardless, so freak the Gemara Kasha, that if taloch is that if somebody takes a tzror migurna shal chaveri, you have to pay him to make chitin. Why? Because it's a garmi. What do you see from there? That if somebody sells chitin, he's allowed to include tzroi rois. It's not like Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina said that when the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put a roi v'akav of tinoifes into chitin. What does that mean? It means dafka kitnias. It means something real. But it doesn't mean even tzroiris, if that's the case. So how do you understand Rabbi's halacha? Tzroir migurnish al-chaveir, noisleid mechit. No, it's not true. You're not allowed to include any tzroir. Kitnis, maybe. But you're not allowed to give tzroir, says the Gemara. Kitnis, roifa. No. Avada, it's true. You see from Rabbi's halacha that when somebody sells chitin, it's understood that there may be some tzroir. And there may be afruris in there. You're going to have some of this chazarai in there. And that's naturally going to be included in the sale. What did Rav Ketina mean? Rav Ketina meant the sheer roiva. The Mishnah said you can include up to a roiva. Roiva, that's only kitness. Afruris you could include, but it's pachas mi roiva. The shear is going to be less than a roiva. How much less than a roiva? The Rashbam says mashal, a little bit less than a roiva. The point is, Rav Ketina wasn't saying that the halacha, the Mishnah, is only true for kitness, not true for tzroir and afar, because you're not allowed to include tzroir and afar. You are allowed to include tzroir and afar. It's understood tzroir and afar is included in the sale, just like kitness is included in the sale. He was stelling zach more on the shear. The shear of the Mishnah was a roiva, such a big shear, that's only for kitness. As it relates to tzroir and offer, the shear is going to have to be a little bit less. But fake the Gemara of Afruris, Roiva, Loy, is that true? When it comes to offer, you can't include a Roiva. Vatanya, I'll ask you a kasha from a Braiso. Hamoicha Perisachaveiroi. If somebody sells Perisachaveiroi, Chitin, if what he sold was wheat, Mikabalol of Roiva Kitness, the buyer has to understand that he may get a Roiva Kitness together with the wheat. Incidentally, you see from here that Kitness and wheat somehow grow together in the ground. And this is one of the reasons that the Minig Ashkenaz is not to eat kitnias on Pesach, because you see that it comes together with chitin, and you're afraid that if you eat kitnias, there may be some chitin there. They somehow come together. The Gemara is going to be even more mafurish in a minute. Every saw, a roiva kitnias. So, if you buy barley, mekabel olav roiva nishoivis. It's understood that there's going to be a roiva akav of straw. Adoshin, lentils, mekabel olav roiva afruris, lissa, a roiva afruris. So the Gemara says, by chitin, you mekabel a roiva kitnis, so oirin, it's a roiva of straw, adoshim, it's a roiva of offer. Says the Gemara, my lav, hu adin lechitin lissa oirin. The Gemara is assuming that it's lav dafka, the way we presented it, that for chitin, it's always kitnis, and for soirin, it's always neshoivis, and for adoshim, it's always afruris. It could be afruris for chitin, it could be neshoivis for adoshim, it's lav dafka. And if it's lav dafka, then what do you see in this braisa? You see clearly that the roiva could be even offer, and the shear is roiva. So it's a kasha and everything we just said. Says the Gemara, no, the way you read the braisa is dafka. By chitin, it's dafka kitnis, like Rav Ketina said. By sa'irim, it's dafka straw. And by adashim, over there, it's even offer. And why would offer be why would adashim be different? If you're not mekabel a roiva hakav of offer when you buy chitin, why would you be mekabel a roiva hakav of offer when you buy adashim? That's definitely mefurish in the braisa, says the Gemara. Shani adashim, demi akar akri lohu. Because adashim, in order to get it out of the ground, you have to dig really deep. And as a result, it's understood that there's going to be offer that's going to come along for the ride. Ela time of the adoshim, says the Gemara, the Miyaka Akrilo. So the Gemara says, if that's true, let me spin it in the reverse. The Braisa only said that you makabal a roiva kav of offer when you buy adashim. It's mashma dafka adashim. And there's a good svara why to say dafka adashim. The Gemara just said, time of the adashim, the Miyaka Akrilo. Because it's understood, you have to dig really deep, a lot of offer is going to come. So over there, you makabal the roiva. Avo chitin v'sayri loy. But chitin and sayri, you don't have to dig so deep in order to pull it out of the ground. It's very much implied from the Mishnah, that or this Braisa, that Allah is, you're not going to be makabel the roiva of offer. It's tifshet minah, so let's be pushed in the reverse. Meaning we have a whole discussion here in the Gemara, a half Amid Gemara. What the halach is? Is it roiva hakav of offer? Is it roiva hakav of only kidney is? This braisa should be a raya. It's mashma only adashim, where there's a tam gadol why a roiva hakav of offer should be included. It's there that the roiva kav of offer is included. But chitin v'sa'iri loy mekabel. So the Gemara says, no, loy chitin v'sa'iri mekabel. I could always spin it the other way. I mean, you can't bring a raya from this braisa. Because I could tell you that chitin v'sa'iri and you're also mekabel. Afruris. Why did the braisa say it by adashim? It's very misleading. It's mashma only adashim, where there's a svara gedayla to say that you are mekabel all this offer, that you're mekabel the offer. But chitin v'sa'iri, not. The Gemara says, no. Because had it not said adashim, the so-called haitach amina, I would have thought, given the ma'ake akrilu, yoisim yoreiva nami mekabel. I would have thought you mekabel even more than a roiva. Kamash v'lan, that even by adashim, only a roiva. So that was why we mentioned adashim. Not because it's only negeya, the halacha of roiva by adashim. But to tell me that it's even only a roiva by adashim, I would have thought that maybe by adashim it's really more. So the bottom line is, when the Mishnah says hamoicha peres lechaveroi chitin hareza mekabel olav roiva tinoifis lisa, do we mean roiva tinoifis of even offer and tzroiris, or do we mean dafka kitnias? So if Katina said roiva kitnias lisa, not offer, it's true a certain amount of offer, yeah, because the halacha is a boyer tzroim you garnish lechaveroi noisleid mechitin. You see that a person loses out when he loses some of his tzrayos, because you can always include the tzrayos together with the sale of the chitin. But the sheer reiva is really a sheer chashav. The sheer chashav of reiva, that's only true for kidneys. That's what Rav Ketina said. It's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara brought a braisa into this discussion to maybe prove something from the braisa. But at the end of the day, we have no raya from the braisa one way or another. Cool. All this is true for a regular buyer, regular seller. No one's saying anything. The buyer bought a sa chitin. It's implied that he's going to get a roiva hakav of something that he really didn't want. Whether it's kitnis, whether it's offer and tzor, but there's going to be a roiva hakav of something undesirable. What, however, if the buyer looks at what he's buying and says, you know something, this looks a little fishy. I feel like there's too much of what I don't want in this taruvis. And he tells the moicher, I'm not willing to buy it unless we count it up. And then he goes, he measures how much chitin there really is, and how much kitnis there was, or how much offer there was, how much tzror there is. The halacha is, at that point, menapes kuloi. To the extent that we find out that there was more than a roiva, so the buyer then can tell the moicher, listen, I know it's a mishnah and shas, I know the halacha is that I'm required to take up to a roiva of something undesirable, but at the same time, once we see that there was more than a roiva, and we already went through the tircha of measuring and seeing that there's more than a roiva, at that point the lekech can demand that we remove all of the undesirables, not just bring it under the threshold of a roiva, which he anyways would have had to take. In Balinapos, once we're going down this road, menapes kuloi. At that point, I'm not taking anything undesirable. You're going to have to give me 100% pure, unadulterated chitin. Otherwise, I'm not taking it. Says the Gemara, that was Rav Huna's psak. Amri lo din of Amri lo knas. And there was a debate what Rav Huna meant. Did Rav Huna mean that this is the way it should be me'ikor adin, based on regular gidrei chashem mishpat? Or is this more of a knas? Amri lo din, some said he meant the me'ikor adin. Because man diyov zuzi aper shvir yov. Really, when a person buys a sof chitin, he means to buy a sachitin. He wants 100% sachitin, not 95% sachitin. He wants 100% sachitin. The roiva leitarachinish. But up to a roiva, he understands there may be something undesirable. And technically, if he had the time and the patience, he would sit down and start being boirer, all the tzroiris that he's not interested in. But he's not going to be matriach. But the reason it's only true for a roiva is because that's already not a shir chashev. Up to that point, he won't be matriach. More than a roiva, he will be matriach. But v'kimin the tarach bekule. This guy who was already tereach, because he sensed something was up, so he already went through the bother of counting. Oh, once I went through the bother, me'ikra din, I was never moichel, really. I just didn't want to deal with it. But now that I was forced to deal with it, so obviously, I want 100%. Meaning, really, when a buyer buys chitin, he wants 100% chitin. Norvas, he's not interested in going through the headache of starting to measure, to take out something so minuscule. But once he went through it anyways, he might as well take it out. So Amri Ladina, some said Rav Huna meant in Bolin Napois, Menapes Kula, that's very much the way it should be. Amri Laknasa, some said it's a knas. Meaning, really, this person's moichel. He's moichel. But the point is that roiva shchiach, the reason we let the moicher get away with a roiva, even though the buyer was Michael, it's because it's shchiach. And that's really why the buyer is Michael. Because it's understood that there's going to be some chazarai, something undesirable in this thing that you're buying. But yoyser lo shchiach, more than a roiv is already not shchiach. Must be then, how did it get there? V'ihu da arif. This person must have mished it arayin. V'kivan da arif, kansur rabbanan da kulo. So now this guy's already a bad guy. Why is there more than a roiv? Oh, you must have done something. You manipulated it. Once you manipulated it, at that point, we're going to give you a knas. Simin, kol trey, shtori, diravim, barav nachman, oinov, kablanusa. Mace, I'll ask you a kasha. This is a kasha from a Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim. So one of the forms of Kalayim is you're not allowed to plant seed that has a taruvos of two different meaning. So it says the Mishnah, if you have a saw that has a quarter of a kav from another min, the halacha is you can't plant it. If you want to plant it, you might. You have to take that roiva of another min, lower the amount beneath the threshold. Once you're memayated, at that point you can plant it. Says the Gemara, Savrua the roiva the kalayim ki yisim roiva the hacha. The Gemara is making an interesting tushta that the roiva of foreign seed in the context of kalayim is similar to the yisim roiva in our sugya. Meaning, just like you now have a roiva of some other type of zera when you plant, so too you now have a yisim roiva of offer, for example, when you sell chitin. They should be the same. And the Mishnah says that by kalayim, what are you supposed to do when you hit that shear? You just lower it a little bit. So too, over here, shouldn't halacha be, you just lower it a little bit? Says the Gemara, Roiva the Kilayim, Ki Roiva the Hacha. That Mishnah is discussing a Roiva Mimenacha. Roiva Mimenacha is not too much. It's not the equivalent of a Yosemi Roiva in our Sugya. In our Sugya, Roiva was the amount you were allowed to include. Yosemi Roiva is what you were already not allowed to include. The Gemara assumes, just Mishnah sounds that way. If you have a Roiva of Kilayim, you might. It sounds like Roiva is like the Yosemi Roiva in our Sugya. But the Gemara says, no. Roiva the Kilayim is not like the Yosemi Roiva in our Sugya. It's actually Ki Roiva the Hacha. It's similar to the Roiva in our Sugya. Not the Yosemi Roiva in our Sugya. It's similar to the Roiva in our Sugya. Meaning, it's an amount that you're allowed to have. And it's for that reason that Loch is Yimayit. But if it would have been above the threshold, at that point, you'd have to kill the whole thing. It's not a Kasha and Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that if you go above, you have to kill it. And Bolinapos, Menapos Kula, you can't just lower it beneath the threshold. At that point, I get everything back. The Gemara seems to be asking a Kasha, Mesve, from the Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim. But the Gemara says, no, it's not a Kasha from the Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim, because the shear that the Mishnah is discussing is not a shear when you went above. It's a shear where you're okay. You're within the shear that you're allowed to be. But the Gemara asks, if it's okay, if this is the allowable shear, why is the lochi yamayit? Mishum chumer de kalayim. It's special chumer in kalayim. Meaning, really, if you would have gone above the shear by kalayim, the lochi would not be yamayit. The lochi would be killing. But being that you didn't go above the shear, you stayed within the shear, here the halach is yamai. Aye, if you're within the shear, why do you even have to be yamai? It's a chumah de kalayim. But Yochi says we're emes seif. Take a look at the seif of that Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi argued, and Rabbi Yosi said yavur yiver es akar. In the case we have a roiva akav of another min, you mixed it together with the seed of kalayim. The halach is yavur. Hakoil, you have to remove everything. Meaning, not everybody holds your might. It's really machlekes tana. Says the Gemara, how do you understand the machlekes tana? I am Rabbi Shlomo ki yosemi roiva tenoifes. Domi bishlomo, if the roiva of this foreign seed by kalayim is similar to the yosemi roiva in our sugyo, so I understand the machlekes Rabbi Yosi and the Tanakama. But how come iflaki? Tanakama sovalei kansin eteriyot yisura. The Tanakama holds your might. Meaning, even though you went too far, doesn't matter. Just bring it below the threshold. For Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yosi holds Kansina. No, once you go too far, we're going to knock it out completely. Similar to the study Ashayla of Rav Huna Zalacha. Once you go over, do we say, oh, you went over. So even though we would have looked away from a Reva, so that's technically Hetera. But now that you went more, we're not looking away from everything. Or do you not do that? It's a very Muzberdig Machloikis. The Machloikis, Rabbi Yosi and the Tanakama, are the two studim in Rav Huna Shaila. But if you're going to tell me that the Reva HaKav mentioned in that mission of Kalayim is really all Behetera, there was no Isser that done, and the only reason that Loch is even Yemayit is Mishum Chumer de Kalayim. So how do you understand Rav Yosi? I understand the Tanakama. Yemayit. Mishum Chumer de Kalayim, make it a little bit less than a Reva. Even though a Reva is also a good share, make it a little bit less. Rav Yosi says, Yiver Es HaKol. It's not so moving. If we're dealing with somebody that has real kalayim, you did yoiser min ashir. So I understand why there'd be a machloikis. If I have more than the shir, I just have to bring it within a shir. Is it enough for me to be mamayit? Or no, it's not enough to be mamayit. And the Gemara adds language to the tzadin. Kansina neteirati yisura, loy kansina neteirati yisura. The point is, do you say that once I did Isser, we're going to be kindness even the Heter? Meaning I would have looked away if it was up to a Roiva, but now that you hit a Roiva, we're going to knock out everything? Or not, which was the same Shaila Rav Huna. Up to a Roiva of Afar, we're going to be Seivel. More than a Roiva, we can't. Once I do more than a Roiva, is it enough I just bring it to where we would have looked away? Or no, once there was Isser, consider it a Teirat Yisur. But if everything is really Heter, and there's some new, obscure Chumr de Kalayim that we're worried about, then I hear, but Zaitz Mechmazbeh, bitte. How do you understand this machloikis over here, Rabbi Yosi in the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, you have to say, Hasamayinu time of the Rabbi Yosi, Mishun the Mechzikim Kain Kalayim, the same type of teretz. You're right, it's not so moving, Shitas Rabbi Yosi, but at the end of the day, we're worried about the Roiva. Why are we worried about the Roiva? There is some Chumr of Kalayim. Obviously, it looks a little like Kalayim, it smells a little like Kalayim. So Rabbi Yosi took it to the extreme. He said, oh, it's a Kuktais Abyssalvi Kalayim. So just like if it was more than a Roiva, the Halacha would be, we would say Yivra Es HaKoil, even when it's only a Reva Yivra Es HaKoil, because at the end of the day, it looks like Kalayim. Toshman. The Gemara now is going to bring a Raya to, it's getting late. The Gemara now is going to bring a Raya to this Rav Huna from a Gemara that we spent a lot of time on in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Metzia, and a Perek Cheskes Abatim, a classic Gemara. The case of the Mona Shlishi. So if you felt that on the Mona Shlishi, in this sugya right here, we're about to see. Shnayim Shevki Deweitzel Echad. There were two people that gave somebody a Pekadin. Zem Mona Vezem Masayim. One person gave $100, the other person gave $200. Zem Masayim. The person that gave $200 says, later, when he comes to collect his money, the $200 were mine. Vezel Eimer. The other person said the $200 was his. Now, one of these two men are clearly lying because one person gave a mana, one person gave masayim. They both didn't give $200. So what's the halacha? What does the shomer pekadon do? Noisim lazem mana, v'lazem mana. He gives each one a mana. Why? Because each person, vadai, is entitled to a mana. They each gave, for sure, 100. One person gave 200. The question is, who gets the mana shlishi? Who gets that other $100? Who gave 200? Vashar. We're going to wait for Eliyahu Navi to come. Eliyahu Navi is going to have to be Machriya. Really? Can Eliyahu Navi paskin Cheshem Mishpat Chaylas? Don't you have to have a Bezdin? To aid him? So we spoke about that when we learned Bava Metzia. But we're going to wait until Eliyahu Navi comes. He's going to be Megala, the Soid, Api Ruach HaKodesh. He's going to tell us who really gave the 200, who gave the 100. What's the kasha? The kasha is that you see over here that even though we want to cancel the person that's lying, the person that's saying that I gave you 200, or really I only gave you 100, we only don't allow him to touch the extra $100. But the $100 that Avadai his, we let him keep. Meaning we don't make a knas and say that being that somebody here is a liar, so the person that's lying, not only are we not going to give him 200, we shouldn't even give him 100. Loi kansinon hetera ati yisura. We'll cancel the chelak ha'iser. But we're not necessarily going to say that once we're canceling the chelak ha'iser, now we're going to cancel the chelak ha'iser as well. We're not going to give you the $100 that certainly belonged to you. What's the tzushal to our sugya? Because Rav Huna said that a moicher is allowed to put up to a roiva of offer when he sells chitin. More than a roiva, you're not allowed. What happens when you put more than a roiva? So obviously, the difference between the more and the roiva that we remove. The question is, do we remove everything at that point? Rav Huna said, yeah, at this point we remove everything. Because once we're nailing you for the iser, the more than a roiva, kansin en heterat isura. Amri lo dinav, amri lo knasa. The Rashbam says, the Gemara's sushtel is based on the amri lo knasa. So you see that we institute a knas for the chelak haheter. So if you institute a knas for the chelak haheter, why don't you institute a knas for the chelak haheter as well? Just like the up to a roiva, which is heter, which ordinarily we would look away from. But once there's a chelak ha'iser, we now are going to institute a knas for the chelak haheter as well. So why don't you say the same thing over here? That once there's a shaila here regarding the mana shlishi, so you can't get 200, because I think you might be a liar. Oh, so you're looking me in the eye, you're telling me I might be a liar, that's why you're not giving me the 200? Shouldn't give you the $100 either. And you see, you do give him the $100. The Chachamim Shita, see, Rabbi Yossi argues in a second, but the Chachamim Shita is, noisim lezem mana, ulezem mana, v'ashar yehem munach, ad sheyove eliyo, zoysoy meres, loy kansid en eteirat yisur. But the Gemara says, hachi hashto, it's not a tzushtel. And the Gemara says, a very elementary chilek. Hasam over there, vaday mana lemar, umana lemar. Over there, each person for sure has the $100. There was for sure no hanky-panky regarding the $100. Nothing went wrong regarding the $100. I gave you 100 legit. He gave you 100 legit. Somebody gave 200, and now they're both lying regarding the 200. But you can't take away the fact that even the liar gave $100. So for that reason, there's no reason not to give him back his $100. Because the $100 that he gave innocuously. There's no reason he shouldn't get that back. Hach over here, mi yemer, the lav kulei ruvi arif. But in the case of the reva, it could be this guy was a bad guy, even regarding the heter. Why? Because what's the whole svara that you're allowed to get away with a reva? Because when you take chitin out of the ground, it's understood there's going to be offer there. It's understood there's going to be kidneys over there. Things are going to come along for the ride. It's moving. We don't necessarily assume that this guy was a bad guy, that every time he mixes a sof chitin, says, oh, pass the offer, let me put it in. If that was the assumption, then this guy would be dead on arrival. Nervous, it happens. Samach zechazoy. But once there's more than a reva, now something looks suspicious. So now we're concerned that maybe this guy, the katchila, went away and he put the tsroir and the offer in, so that even the up to a reva that we would usually look away from, we're even suspicious about that. Because the only reason we usually look away from it is because we assume it just happened. But once we have a basis to think that maybe it was put there maliciously, oh, at that point, we're not willing to look away from it. So in the case of the Mana Shlishi, there's no reason at all to have any reis regarding the original mana. That was done legitimately. Being that it was done legitimately, so you keep the mana. But over here, where there's makam to be concerned about that teira, here kansina teira. See, right, Rav Huna said kansina na teira at yisura. That's the yisoid of Rav Huna. Amrila din of Amrila Knasa. According to the Amrila Knasa, it's a knas on everything, even though the everything is heter, because once we kindness to Isser, we kindness to heter. Kansina netera at Yisur, which is why the Gemara is cutting and pasting this Yisoid, and it's going to take it through Shas now. Kalayim, now we're talking about the Manashlishi. Tomorrow we'll see it in the context of Ribbis, because it's a very general principle. It's a very specific halacha, a Reva Kav of Ofer in a Sochitin. But the concept, the fundamental principle that underlies this halacha has global ramifications. So the Gemara is applying it to the case of the Manashlishi, but the Gemara is saying it's not the same. Because the only reason we're considering a Terat Yisur over here is because we suspect that maybe even the Heter wasn't such Heter. If we knew for sure the Heter was Heter, you wouldn't be kind of Terat Yisur, like you find by the Manashlishi. But over here, it's not Muchach. Could be even the Heter is not Heter. Maybe put it in the Kivun. If you put it in the Kivun, we're not looking away. Tosh Mami Seifa, last Gemara. The Seifa of Yesi Argus. Meaning the Tanakhama in that Mishnah holds, Noisin Lazemana, Lazemana, Vashar, Yehemunach. But Rabbi Yosi famously argues, and he said, if each guy gets the mana, what downside does the liar have? Right? One person gave $100, one person gave $200. Now they both come, the $200 is mine. The person that's lying, does he have any downside? What's his name? He's getting his $100 regardless. It's all upside. It's a good investment. Great investment profile. I can double my money or I can lose nothing. Okay, where do I sign? Sounds like a good deal. Rav Yosi didn't like that. He says, because you're incentivizing bad guys to do things like this. So Rav Yosi says, we have no choice. Everything is going to be munach. Now the Ramai has downside. He has downside. He's disincentivized from doing this. But says the Gemara, so maybe bring a ride from Rav Yosi. Fakert, because what is Rabbi Yossi doing? Rabbi Yossi is taking away even the mana. See, you see, because I'm concerned that you might be a liar, you're going to end up getting nothing. See, you see, kansina na teirat yisur, just the opposite. That being that there's an iser, the extra $100, we're not even going to give you the $100 of heter. But the Gemara says not either a tushta. Hachi hashta hasam vade ikaramai. The reason Rabbi Yossi said kansina teirat yisur because there's a vadei ramai. That's the big svara in Bava Metzia Daf Gimel. There's a vadei ramai. One of the two are for sure lying. And being that one of the two are for sure lying, so we say that guy who's a vadei ramai, we're going to knock him out. Being that we're knocking him out, we don't know who the ramai is, so we inevitably have to take it away from everybody. Hakol yehemunach hachiyavaliyo. But hach over here miyemer that ruvei yarif. We don't know for sure that there was even a rabbi. Being that we don't know for sure there was even a rabbi, so it's not muchach that would be koines hetera ati I surah. Either way, these two svaras that the Gemara says is very much in line with the sugis and shnei meichsim, where you could always look at the mana shlishi in two ways. On the one hand, each guy for sure gave a mana, but then again, there's always a vadei ramai. The Gemara there said it in the context of the Shnei Meichs and Metalas Sugyas. Here you have it in terms of the concept of kansida neterat yisura. Not, we will start with this tomorrow.